This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station of KU Southwest. Jack McKenna here, reminding you that a slip of the lip can sink a ship. It's 11 p.m. Central Standard Wartime, Sunday, December 31st, 1944. We're just an hour away from welcoming in 1945 and ushering out Old Man 1944. And Lou Martin, speaking of old men, is in with the 11 o'clock news in this special late edition of the Martin and McKenna Show. Rapid Ray will have the Sports Museum curator, Gerald Stowe, will stop by with something really old again. And we'll have the top songs from the 1944 hit parade for you, too.
Ooh, New Year's Eve, ooh, boy, I can't wait to celebrate the New Year.
That's our engineer in charge.
Thank you.
Joe Gardonio, sounding kind of tired there, Joe. Been a long day of engineering?
If it wasn't one thing, it was another. Look, I'm going to the lounge for 30 winks. Come and get me when it's a couple minutes to midnight. Oh, I don't want to miss anything.
Tonight's news is brought to you by the East End Pharmacy and People's Drugstore, where men can get Old Spice toilet water for just $1. East End and People's Drug wish everyone a happy 1945. Lou?
Happy New Year to you, Jack, and good listeners. Hammering blows by Allied forces in Western Europe are bending the Germans back toward the Third Reich. We begin tonight's late World News shortwave radio roundup with Stan Turner with the Allied Expeditionary Force in Belgium.
This is Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force in Belgium. Stan Turner here. The Allied security cloak remains in effect, so this report is 48 hours old. American counterattacks have narrowed the deep German bulge into Belgium. This comes as the fog lifts and weather is clearing. It appears that Allied forces have not only stopped Nazi General Karl von Rundstedt's panzers, but Americans have reclaimed about one-third of the territory won by the Germans in their winter offensive. The report from Bastogne is very good. The U.S. Third Army's corridor into that Belgian city has been widened in the relief of Bastogne. While the Third Army hammers at von Rundstedt's southern flank, the U.S. First Army is attacking his northern flank. And that means the width of the Nazi bulge has been reduced to 13 miles and its western advance pushed back a dozen miles. But the past 48 hours have been a reprieve for Nazi forces. Mist and fog shroud the Germans, allowing resupplying without harassment by RAF and American planes. It's believed von Rundstedt still has armored power to push his way out and continue his offensive. It is possible that the German general has decided not to risk an all-out attack on a massive force assembled by General Eisenhower. He may decide to retreat back to Germany before the bulge is cut off and his panzers are trapped. The weather is clearing today, and Allied attacks from the air and land are expected. The weather did not stop Lieutenant General George S. Patton's Third Army from liberating four more towns 2 days ago. With the Allied Expeditionary Force in Belgium, this is Stan Turner. Calling Geneva. Come in. Alfred M. Schock.
This is Geneva, Switzerland. Alfred M. Schock here. Deutschland radio broadcasts monitored here revealed Nazi armies in retreat after Nazi panzers rampaged through the fabled Ardennes Gap 2 weeks ago. This Nazi winter assault has stalled. In fact, Berlin radio reports fierce fighting in Stavelot, Malmedy, and Zanvieth. German DNB radio also says 25,000 Allied troops have been captured so far and many more than that killed. Reports from the front say the Germans are still feeling around the new American defenses, probing for a soft spot. U.S. forces are said to be on the lookout for more paratroop drops with Nazis wearing American uniforms or driving Jeeps. Belgian military police are warning civilians that Nazis may also be dressed in Belgian uniforms. Meanwhile, Paris radio reflects deep relief now that the fear of a German advance into France through Sedan to Paris is gone. In Geneva, this is Alfred M. Schock reporting. Calling the Eastern Front, come in Budapest.
This is Hungary, Eddie Gilmore reporting from Budapest. Red Army troops are fighting their way yard by yard into the heart of the city. The Russians have cleared defenders from main streets after all-night bayonet battles and grenade throwing at close range. Numerous buildings fell into Russian hands during the night. Part of Buda, that section of Budapest that stands high on the western banks of the Danube, is now held by the Soviets. German resistance has stiffened in both Buda and Pest, but Soviet Marshal Malinovsky's forces are moving forward. None of Budapest's airfields are in Hungarian hands, and every Axis soldier trapped in this encircled capital faces death or capture. In Budapest, this is Eddie Gilmore calling the Pacific. Come in, Hawaii.
This is Pearl Harbor, Frank Tremaine, your correspondent. Tokyo Radio reports a huge American naval convoy on the move in the Philippines. They are speculating that this could be the big invasion force to land in Luzon, the last remaining island of the Philippines not controlled by Yank forces. Japanese radio says many troop ships have left Lady Island in the Mindanao Sea. General Douglas MacArthur has made no mention of this convoy, but he wouldn't be expected to if it was indeed headed for Luzon. Fleet Admiral Chester Nimitz cautioned that the Japanese will hurl what's left of its navy to head off an invasion. Meanwhile, London has announced that the British were preparing two powerful fleets to head for the Pacific in 1945. A final note, for the 21st consecutive day, Liberator bombers struck Iwo Island, a Japanese air base midway between Saipan and Tokyo. At Pacific headquarters at Pearl, this is Frank Tremaine calling the States. Come in, Drew Pearson.
This is the nation's capital, Drew Pearson, your columnist. Secretary of Labor Perkins is getting out of the cabinet come hell or high water. Three terms with President Roosevelt is enough. Miss Perkins tried to get out 4 years ago. She even handed in her resignation on January 20th, 1941. It's still on file. FDR didn't act on it. She'd be tough to replace since she has the approval of both the CIO and AFL. Not many people can do that. Miss Perkins became the first woman to serve in a presidential cabinet when FDR first took office in 1933. Meanwhile, outgoing Vice President Henry Wallace is twisting in the wind. The president is trying to find Mr. Wallace a cabinet position. Wallace is effective, but not a very good politician. He's too much of a plain talker. Finally, Supreme Court Justice Frank Murphy has written an epic article on tolerance for Liberty magazine. It's called Hate, the Enemy Bullets Can't Stop. Every American should read it. With the Capitol hubbub, this is Drew Pearson. We return you now to Europe. Come in, Max Jordan.
Hello, this is Belgium, the city of L'Église. This report has been delayed 48 hours. We have this harrowing story today told by Lieutenant Scott Yeomans of St. Paul, Minnesota. It's a story of guts and horror from five GIs held prisoner by four German guards. All nine of them huddled in a cellar just 9 feet by 4 feet wide. Allied guns shelled L'Église. Bombs fell around the little cellar. The Nazis were nervous and began softly singing the German sentimental favorite, Lili Marlena. As they finished one chorus, the cellar was hit by a shell. In that instance, all four Germans were wounded or killed. Lieutenant Yeomans said they tried to help the Germans with bandages, but then another shell hit and all the Germans were killed. But they were far from being free. The Americans were trapped by their own heavy barrage. The lieutenant remembers the drumbeat of gunfire continued without let up for 2 days. They had given up hope and at one point wished for a shell to make a direct hit and end their misery. They'd lost hope that they'd make it out alive. But the shelling did stop, and the Americans came in and took the city, rescuing Lieutenant Yeomans and 20 other Americans hiding in the rubble. He says it was the best Christmas present he ever had. In spite of the ordeal, he returned to duty, but he did say that when he first entered L'Église, it was one of the prettiest he had ever seen. Now, he says, he no longer recognizes it. In L'Église, Belgium, this is Max Jordan reporting.
The German government is going to be held responsible for the wanton killing of disarmed GI captives. A State Department official says the strongest possible protest is on its way to Berlin through Switzerland. It regards the killing of all but 15 GIs out of 130 American soldiers captured by a German tank corps at the outbreak of the German winter offensive. The slayings shocked official Washington, who had regarded the German army as a tough but well-conducted fighting force. From London, Prime Minister Winston Churchill expressed hope today that Germany would finally be beaten in 1945. In a New Year's message to the conservative group, the Primrose League, Mr. Churchill said, and we quote now, "Before many months have passed, the evil gang that has long dominated that unhappy continent will be wiped out. Until that end has been achieved, there can be no return to normal habits. It will be tragic folly to prolong the war by any slackening in the last phase of the agony that megalomaniac ambition has loosed upon the world," unquote. KUWS Radio News Time is 11:08. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Your local megalomaniac. That's me, folks. But I'm speaking the truth now when I tell you that the East End Pharmacy and People's Drug Store both offering sensational sales. For example, Old Spice toilet water. Not that kind. $1 plus tax. Max Factor gift sets $3 to $4.55. Palmer's American Memories gift set, just $5. Then it goes on and on. Men's shaving sets, not to forget you guys, $1.50 to $2.50. Q-Tex sets, $1 to $3. So, get to East End and People's Pharmacy as soon as you can to get something for your favorite person. Lou?
In a record-setting event on the Great Lakes, icebreakers will lead a convoy of ships from Superior to Chicago later this week. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Happy New Year, Lou, and everyone. This is quite a story. Led by the new 5,000-ton icebreaker Mackinac, four coastal cargo vessels will leave the Twin Ports Harbor and push through the ice of Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. The U.S. Maritime Commission made the announcement knowing that ships have never left port after the Christmas holiday, let alone after this terrific sub-zero cold spell that we've been having. The four cargo ships are urgently needed because of the expanding war effort in Europe and the Pacific. The cargo vessels are the USS Hidalgo and the USS Lebanon, built in the Walter Butler Shipyard in Superior, the USS Pemiscot, built at Globe Shipyard in Superior, and the USS William L. Nelson, built at the Butler Riverside Yard in West Duluth. Four Coast Guard icebreakers, led by the new $10 million Mackinac, will escort the ships through the Sioux Locks to Lake Michigan and then on to Chicago. Sioux Lock operators are lowering and raising the locks to keep them from icing up until the ships arrive at Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Assisting the Mackinac will be two other new icebreakers, the Woodrush and the Sundew, as well as the Chaparral, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. A soldier from Minong listed as missing in action has been declared killed in action. Lieutenant Louis Celentano was killed October the 30th in Germany. The War Department informed his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Charles Celentano of Minong. Lieutenant Celentano had been in the service since 1941 and had been overseas since early 1943. He was a bombardier in a B-24 Liberator flying missions over Europe. The War Department notified Mrs. Graydon Wise of Danbury that her husband was killed in action. Private Graydon Wise was seriously wounded September the 23rd and died from those wounds. He operated a Texaco service station in Danbury when he entered the service a year ago. The parents of Lieutenant W.R. Roycraft have been told that their son will be awarded a Purple Heart. Reverend and Mrs. W.A. Roycraft live in Lake Nabagaman. Their son was killed June the 14th after the invasion of Normandy. Mr. and Mrs. Marie Garrity of East 5th Street in Superior has been told that her son was wounded in action. Private First Class Eugene Garrity was slightly wounded December the 10th in Germany. He was sent overseas in September. Lieutenant Lawrence Budnick of Superior will be awarded the Air Medal for his action as a fighter pilot in the Pacific. Lieutenant Budnick is a survivor of the escort carrier San Lo, which was sunk in fighting in the Philippines. He received the Air Medal for outstanding airmanship in the Battle of Saipan. He completed 90 missions, seeing actions in Tinian, Guam, Leyte, and Marotta. Finally, Jack and good listeners, a seaman who clung to a life raft for 2.5 days after his destroyer was sunk visited his home in Bayfield last week. Soundman Second Class Arley Cody is a veteran of 7 major Pacific campaigns in 11 months of duty. His ship, the USS Johnston, was sunk at Leyte Bay October the 25th. He'll receive the Purple Heart. He's on a 36-day survivor's leave. Seaman Cody visited the home of Mrs. F.J. Ryan in Bayfield, Jack.
2.5 days clinging to a raft, wondering if you're going to be rescued. Oh, boy, that's bad. What would you do to pass the time if you were Seaman Cody? Think of Harriet, I bet.
I'd be thinking about sharks.
That's not good, Lou. You'd get worry lines.
And what would you think all alone on a raft?
Oh, that's easy. Mashed potatoes and gravy with mushrooms. Anyway, Lou, we've got all kinds of stuff ahead in the next hour, and Lou will be along with a look back on the year. But first, our forecast for this New Year's Eve night, 1944. Not as cold, with some snow flurries. Tonight's low will be about 10 degrees above, and tomorrow's high warming up to a pleasant 28 degrees. Hey, we're counting down the top 10 hits from the 1944 hit parade, friends. So warm your tootsies by the fireplace and turn up that old Philco radio. Number 10 on the 1944 hit parade is by Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters. Dear Bingle had maybe his best year ever this year. Here's Don't Fence Me In on the Martin and McKenna New Year's Eve show.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles, and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies.
On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles, and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in, no. Papa, don't you fence me in.
Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters and Don't Fence Me In on the New Year's Eve show. We have New Year's greetings from these South Superior businesses for you folks. Bickford Fuel, Burdick's Confectionery, Joe Kimmis Oil Company, West and Peterson Feed Store, the South Superior Blacksmith Shop, Moser Shell Service, and Struza's Grocery Store. All hope that the coming year will bring the return of peace and happiness to our troubled world. And they say, start the new year right and buy war bonds. Good advice, friends. Hey, let's get into the ninth biggest number in the 1944 hit parade, shall we? Here's Johnny Mercer and Joe Stafford with their hit, Candy, on the Martin and McKenna New Year's Eve show.
Candy, I call my sugar candy,
because I'm sweet on candy, and candy's sweet on me. Candy's always handy
when I need sympathy.
I wish that there were four of her so I could love much more of her.
She has taken my complete heart.
Got a sweet tooth for my sweetheart Candy.
It's gonna be just dandy
the day I take my candy and make her mine, all mine.
Joe Stafford singing with Johnny Mercer and Candy. Number nine on the 1944 hit parade, folks. Lou Martin is in with the biggest box office attractions of 1944. So, was it Betty Boop again, Lou?
That's old 30s, Jack. You've got to get hip with the times.
Hip with the times?
I could have been a great Hollywood reporter. Hollywood show of shows in a year marked with stupendous box office receipts and spectacular gigantic productions was a simple homey story that cost little to produce and surprised everyone by grossing a whooping 12 big ones. That's millions to you, Jack. Yes, movie fans, your first guess was right. Going My Way, in which Derbingle, Bing Crosby, and Barry Fitzgerald scored a big hit. Paramount Pictures figured it'd be another regular Bing Crosby flick. After all, it cost less than $1 million to make, which is confetti in Baghdad on the Pacific.
Baghdad on the Pacific?
This year's number one super-duper spend-delicious picture, Since You Went Away, cost $3 million to make, but it was far down on the list. Others in the top ten were A Guy Named Joe, Two Girls and a Sailor, Pin-Up Girl, This Is the Army, Gaslight, Destination Tokyo, and The White Cliffs of Dover.
Who could forget
pinup girl.
Cary Grant was the leading man when it came to greenbacks. Hollywood's moneymaker king pulled in 1 million buckaroos in 1944. Lanky Gary Cooper was second, and Bob Hope was third. Trouble is, when you pay $926,000 in taxes on $1 million, you ain't no millionaire.
That war tax can really bite.
The battle which warmed Hollywood's heart took place at the box office, where 1944 saw record crowds fight for the seats. Receipts were the greatest ever of the galloping tintypes, estimated at $1 billion.
Galloping tintypes?
My personal rookie of the year goes to the sultry New York model, Lauren Bacall. She clicked big opposite Humphrey Bogart in The Have and Have Not. My bet is she has, Jack.
Who are you and what did you do with Lou?
Goodness, Lewis, you sound like Walter Winchell.
Better than sounding like Hedda Hopper.
Something's screwy around here tonight, Joe. We could use your judicious advice that only engineers possess.
Now that's screwy.
Entertainment editor Harry Farig is in next with tonight's New Year's goings-on. So back to our hit parade. The eighth biggest number on the 1944 hit parade, Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five, and the G.I. Jive on the Martin and McKenna slightly screwy New Year's Eve special.
PFC to CPL, SGT the LT, CP the OD, the MP makes you do cappy. It's a G.I. Jive, man alive. It starts with a bugler blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Hey, Jack, that's the G.I. Jive. Rudely toot, jump in your suit, make a salute. Harry boot, after you wash and dress, more or less, you go get your breakfast from a beautiful little cafe they call The Mess. Hey, Jack, when you convalesce, out of your seat, into the street, make with your feet, or read. If you're a PVT, your duty is to salute the L-I-E-U-T. But if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, the MP makes you can't be on the QT. It's just a G.I. Jive, man alive. Give you a private tank that features a little device called Fluid Drive. Hey, Jack, after you revive, chunk all your junk back in your trunk, fall on your bunk, clump. Chunk all your junk back in your trunk, fall on your bunk, clunk. If you're PFC and you fail to salute the LT, the MP makes you can't be on the QT. Then you'll go to sleep before you count to five. But when you wake up in the morning, you'll have to do the G.I. Jive.
Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five with the G.I. Jive on station KUWS. Now, Society Editor Harriet Farig with the church observances this New Year's Eve, 1944.
But I don't want to do the church services. I want to do dances and bands and clubs.
That's not the responsible thing, Harriet. Sometimes all people can think about is having fun, 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 and not do the responsible thing. So I'll do the responsible thing.
See, Joe? See what I mean?
Yeah, something's afoot, all right.
The Reverend Joseph Coughlin began his pastorate at Bethel Lutheran Church today. The Reverend Coughlin comes to us from Deer Park, Wisconsin. He replaces the much-beloved Reverend J.T. Stoley, who left for a calling in Hibbing. Bethel Lutheran will hold late-night services tonight.
That's all very nice and certainly has its place, Jack. But don't miss the pleasure of dancing the night away at the Wildwood Inn tonight. Good music, no cover charge, fine liquors, just 6 miles south on Tower Avenue. And there's a gala New Year's party going on right now at Eddie Shea's Ritz Bar. Eddie Shea is fond of saying, let's have another one.
Oh, for shame. Oh.
For some reason, Building Superintendent Axel Fennell has made his way up from the furnace room.
What's the for shame thing there, Ax?
Well, for shame that the city council bowed to the pressure of the Tavern Owners Association, and they let alcohol flow on Sunday just because it's New Year's Eve. For shame.
One has to agree with the chap from the furnace room.
Thank you very much. Somebody has to say it.
Somebody has to say it. But not Axel.
Not special elixir every Friday night at the poker game, Axel.
Not hair of the dog in your morning coffee, Axel.
Not guy who drinks too much, Axel.
I guess the subtlety is over.
You see what I mean, Joe? Everything's backward tonight.
Oh, I'm shocked to see liquor being served on Sunday.
Oh, relax, Axel. Have some fun. We might head to the Hotel Andre after work. They're open until 2 a.m. The Sonny Rosberg Orchestra is playing. Let your hair down.
Harriet, really? Good citizens are attending watch night services at this hour. Ogden Avenue Baptist Temple is having music and readings, followed by Coffee and Fellowship, led by Pastor Applequist.
He's never let his hair down, I'll tell you that.
Shocking attitude.
Jack, play some musical interlude so I can gather my thoughts on this extraordinary turn of events.
Okay, then. Good folks out there in Radioland, turn up the Philco and enjoy the seventh biggest number on the 1944 hit parade. This is Les Brown and his band of renown with the singing of the very pious Doris Day, I'm sure. Here's My Dreams Are Getting Better All the Time on the Martin and McKenna New Year's Eve show.
My dreams are getting better all the time.
Les Brown and his band of renown with Doris Day on station KUWS. The People's Gospel Mission is ushering in the new year for the less fortunate. Superintendent Al Johnson and Reverend Olav Munson of Zor Lutheran Church are conducting tonight's service. And this is thrilling. The Zor String Band will perform.
Indeed, my dear man. A peculiar turn of events tonight, eh?
It's creeping me out. And when did you start smoking a pipe and wearing a cape with that Sherlock Holmes hat?
You see, Martin, you don't in fact. The world doesn't know the extent and depth of my existence. So, Martin, observe.
Observe what?
Me at work, that's what.
Sheesh. Rapid Ray is in next, friends, but back to the music with the number 6 song from the 1944 hit parade. Here's the Mills Brothers, and You Always Hurt the One You Love on the Martin and McKenna New Year's Eve show.
You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt. You always take the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. You always break the kindest heart with a hasty word you can't recall. So if I broke your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all.
You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. Always take the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. You always break the kindest heart with the hasty word you can't recall. It's because I love you most of all. You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always take sweetest rose, crush it till the petals fall.
You always break the kindest heart with the hasty word you can't recall. So last night, it's because I love you most of all.
Yes, sir, the Mills Brothers and their hit, You Always Hurt the One You Love, on station KUWS. Hiya, Ray.
Happy New Year, Jake. At least I hope it will be. You know, Axel and I were talking out in the break room. You know, he's a thoughtful gentleman. His work allows for deep reflection.
Yes, yes. I've always found Axel stimulating.
Stimulating?
Shoveling coal into a furnace allows for deep reflection?
Well, I understand the need for escapism through the games and competition offered by the sporting world, but maybe there are better pursuits for us
then whiling away the hours, rooting for people to do something with some kind of a ball.
I'm sympathetic, Ray. That often disturbs me, too. But you've got a profession to uphold.
Oh, yeah. Right, my friend. Well, here's the sporting news, good people. 22 baseball records were tied or broken by American League players in 1944. Cleveland Indians manager Lou Boudreau not only won the batting championship, but he also broke a major league record for shortstops by participating in 134 double plays. His fielding average was 978, the highest ever by a shortstop. Detroit first baseman Rudy York set a junior circuit record by taking part in 163 double plays. And the Bronx Bombers continued to break their own record. The New York Yankees lead the league in home runs for the 25th year in a row. Three New Year's Bowls games will be broadcast to G.I. Joes overseas. The commander of the Armed Forces Radio Service says the Rose Bowl will be broadcast from Pasadena, the Orange Bowl from Miami, and the Sugar Bowl will be heard worldwide from New Orleans. Finally, Jack, the sage of the baseball ages, Philadelphia Athletics owner Connie Mack turned 82 years old the other day. You know, he says each year seems to slip away a little faster. Isn't that the way it is? Even so, Connie Mack says he's looking forward to another year of managing the A's, as he has every year since 1901. He guided the Diamond Ballers to American League titles in 1902, 05, 10, 1911, 13, 29, 30, and 31. He says the War Production Board's work or fight order won't stop baseball from being played in 1945. He says even the War Department believes baseball is a morale booster for the soldiers overseas. But he says his Athletics won't be asking for any deferments. Maybe he's right, sport fans. Maybe this all really does matter. This is Ray Paulson. Good night.
Hey, what kind of an ending was that? You know, the thing about every sport-loving good people who play in the games are...
He's only said it a million times, and you can't remember it? Sheesh. It's, don't forget to remember, boys and girls, that sporting is a lovely way to be a good sport. Or something like that.
Don't look at me. I don't remember it either.
Goodness, boys, it's his trademark. Ahem. This is Robert Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Nicely done, my dear. But I must confess, I'm beginning to prefer a good book for a stimulating debate to games.
The most stimulating debate you ever had was whether jelly or jam was better on peanut butter. Joe, we need your insight.
Indeed. Because some things... afoot.
The plot thickens, folks. Why is Steady Eddie Lou so fretful tonight? How come Rapid Ray doesn't like sports? Why is Harriet acting like a flapper? How come some people think Joe has acumen? Why are I using big words? Is something afoot? Well, here's the fifth most popular song from 1944. This is Harry James and his orchestra with Kitty Callan. And I'm beginning to see the light on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark that's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love.
Harry James and his orchestra, that's the fifth biggest song in the 1944 hit parade. I'm beginning to see the light. Lou Martin is in with some of the big stories of 1944. This should be mesmerizing.
Backward Land. That's what this is. Backward Land. The war dominates the news. January 22nd, American and British troops land north of the Gustav Line in Italy at Anzio. That offensive nearly fails. 5 days later, the Red Army breaks the siege of Leningrad. In February, Japanese Prime Minister Hideki Tojo becomes chief of the army. He'd be deposed before the year is out. In March, the U.S. 8th Army Air Force begins the first daylight bombing raids on Berlin. May saw the Japanese begin a six-month offensive in China to capture U.S. airfields from which Americans can bomb Japan. June 5th, the Allies enter Rome. June 6th, the D-Day landing along the Normandy coast of France. Also in June, B-29 superfortresses begin the first bombing of Japan while Germany unleashes the V-1 rocket attacks on Britain. In July, the Red Army reaches eastern Poland, liberating the first of a new kind of concentration camp called Majdanek, where the Soviets claimed prisoners were systematically killed. Most considered this an exaggeration. In August, Paris is liberated, and in September, the 1st U.S. Army enters Germany from Luxembourg. At the so-called Octagon Conference in Quebec, the Allies agree to start planning for an organization called the United Nations. In November, President Roosevelt is elected to a fourth term by defeating New York Governor Dewey. And in December, the Germans surprise American troops with a winter offensive through the Ardennes into Belgium and Luxembourg. Jack?
Absolutely beguiling, Lou. The implications of these events. The history we're living in now. It boggles the mind.
You usually don't bother getting boggled.
Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be nice if you had any kind of an answer to this. Saying interesting every 5 minutes is becoming annoying.
Patience, Martin, my good man, patience. Jack, time to spin another disc of musical amusement.
Right, my good man. That Lou. Lou needs to have serenity.
Backwards Land. That's what this is. Backwards Land.
Something is afoot.
That's getting annoying, too.
Serenity, Lou. Serenity. Our fourth biggest number on the 1944 hit parade, friends, is the harmony of those girls from Minnesota. Yes, the Andrews sisters. This is Apple Blossom Time on the New Year's Eve Musical Diversion Show.
I'll be with you to come and say, happy the bride that the sun shines on today.
Andrew Sisters and Apple Blossom Time on KUWS.
Let me introduce Douglas County Museum Curator. Holy smokes!
Yes, well, what is it, my good man?
Where's your black cape? Your usual hollow eyes.
He's wearing argyle socks and saddle shoes.
And his breath is minty.
Yes, I'm a changed man. I want to go where the lights are bright and the people do the boogie woogie.
This is all an elaborate scheme to frighten Lou, isn't it?
Mr. Stowe, you found a link to Superior and President Roosevelt?
Usually you introduce him by saying he's the guy with the old stuff.
Yes, that's all changed now. I have a zest for life. The future is ours. Yes.
But tonight, it's some old stuff, right?
Yes. Tidbits of information from the deep, dark past. It's my job, I guess. Okey-dokey, then. Let's go back then 60 years, yes, to 1884. A company called the Land and River Improvement Company was formed by a bunch of rich guys from New York. Yes, they figured to make a killing on land and lakefront property here. One of those big investors was a fella named James Roosevelt. Yes, he's our president's pop. He owned property in Superior before the turn of the century.
The president's pop?
This Land and River Improvement Company is credited with making Superior what it is today, developing so much land. He was on the original board of directors for the First National Bank of Superior. Bet you didn't know that, Mr. Jack or Mr. Lou?
Can't say I did.
I knew that.
Yes, of course you did. Mr. Roosevelt then founded the West Superior Iron and Steel Company in 1889. But no, it was ruinous for him. The company operated for only a short time. The first iron was melted in November 1889 at the plant in Billings Park after James Roosevelt invested $1 million to build it. But it never produced any steel.
Wow, I didn't know Superior had a steel plant. Did you, Lou?
I knew that.
I forgot. You're a newsman.
Yes. Mr. Roosevelt was a frequent visitor to Superior. To this day, his name graces the Roosevelt Terrace in Superior. He built a whole city block of buildings at 21st and Ogden and another block east of there. On one of those visits in 1893, Mr. Roosevelt brought his 11-year-old son, Franklin, to Superior. So yes, the future president was an early visitor at the head of the lakes. But it was that same year that the Depression of 1893 struck, ending the Roosevelt's investments in Superior. That's all. If you like that kind of thing, now take me along with you when you go out tonight to Boogie Woogie.
But you hate bright lights and crowds. You like damp, dark, basement-type places. Something's definitely afoot.
By my count, that makes it about 5 feet now, Joe. George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty is in next, folks. I have no idea what he will be like tonight. Here's the third most popular song from the 1944 hit parade. Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, no less, with Pistol Packin' Mama on the Backwards Land New Year's Eve Martin and McKenna Show.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol Packin' Mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, drinking beer in a cabaret, was I having fun? Until one night she caught me right, now I'm on the run.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol Packin' Mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, I see you every night, Bing, and I'll woo you every day. I'll be your regular mama, and I'll put that gun away.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol Packin' Mama, lay the thing down before it goes off and hurts somebody. Oh, she kicked out my windshield, and she hit me over the head. She cussed and cried and said I'd lied, and she wished that I was dead.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol Packin' Mama, lay that pistol down. With three tough gals from deep down Texas way, we got no pals. They don't like the way we play. We're a rough, rootin', tootin', shootin' trio, but you ought to see my sister Cleo. She's a terror, make no error, but there ain't no laissez-faire. Here's what we tell her.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol Packin' Mama, lay that pistol down.
Happy made a batch of corn, the revenuers came. The draw was slow, so now they know you can't do that to Maine.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down.
Pistol Packin' Mama, lay that pistol down.
Oh, singing songs in a cabaret, was I having fun? Till one night it didn't seem right, now I'm on the run.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down, pistol back and mama, lay that pistol
down.
Oh, pistol back and mama, lay that pistol down.
Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, a good team, with the number three song from the 1944 hit parade. Now Lou, with great trepidation, will introduce our next guest.
Trepidation?
What do you know about that? Hey, that's a good word, Jack.
I don't usually expand my vocabulary during our radio show, Georgie. I don't want to sound elitist.
I understand. You got to talk to regular folks the regular way. I mean, I do that all the time with real estate. Like, I got a duplex on Banks Avenue with 5 rooms and a bath on each side, full basement, double garage, heat stoker. That's just $3,500.
I don't think that I can handle an intellectual Jack.
There's good old Guy Jack on the radio. Afterwards, over a snifter of fine cognac, in my smoking jacket, if you please, there's Academic Jack.
Academic Jack, eh? Interesting.
Feel any different, George?
Nope.
Same old George G. with the same old optimistic outlook. I always believe things work out for the best.
Interesting.
Stop saying that.
But baffling, too. If George G. is unchanged while the others are mirror images of their true selves, it doesn't add up.
If you're a mirror image of yourself, then you should be able to solve the mystery.
There's no need to be persnickety.
Well, there is one change, though, boys.
And the nightmare continues.
I have had a revelation. A true vision. We don't need to sell homes or rent apartments. We need to share. We need to all move in together. Now, look. There's a severe housing shortage. There's not enough housing for all the war workers coming from out in the country. So, we pool our resources, and I've got a plan.
We've got a plan.
That's it, then. The gang's all here.
This is Douglas County Draft Board Chairman Colonel Joe Raffaele. My guess is that you're feeling chipper tonight.
Yeah. How did you know? I feel good. I mean, heck, I wanted to spend it here with my friends.
And why would they be coming here?
And who would they be?
You guys, you're just a bunch of getters. And McCorkle, get over here. Come on over here, you big lug. I want to give you a New Year's hug.
It's music time, friends. The number two song from the 1944 hit parade. Here's Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra and Opus One on the Martin and McKenna show. Anything goes show. Wow.
Huggy, huggy.
Tommy Dorsey and Opus One, the second biggest hit of 1944. Sheesh, I don't see why women like hugging men. I sure don't.
And I wish some men would shave a little closer before they go around hugging people.
It's time for our plan. You want to do the honors, Colonel?
No, Newsom. You have the honors.
Everyone, all of our acquaintances are going to get together and pool the housing resources. We got to figure it out for all of you guys to live in one spot.
No offense, but I don't think it would work. I've known Jack too long to know that rooming with him would be risky business.
Lewis is right. Although it sounds fun in a house with so many men.
You know, Harriet seems a little, different tonight.
Well, that's Flapper Harriet. You know, 5'2", eyes of blue. Yes, sir, yes, sir. She's a flapper, too. That kind of thing.
All right, I got an announcement. You can all stay with the colonel.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on, Nick Martin, it'll be fun. The missus and I have an attic, a basement, a storage closet, and a little room for the boiler. All nice and cozy.
I got dibs on the attic.
Oh, I'll take the boiler room. That'll be loud enough to cover up any strange noises that might emanate from my abode.
I like the basement. That way I can play the radio loud.
I could make my specialty, too, liver and onions, every night.
And I'm handy around the house. I'll do anything but laundry. I'm afraid of those rollers that wring the clothes. Look at the finger.
Oh, yeah. All right, McMartin, you can take the storage closet.
That'll about do it. I want an answer, and I want an answer now, Joe.
But this is so interesting. I mean, for cry eye, a nice and generous Colonel Raffley, a cerebral Jack, for Pete's sake, you should appreciate a Flapper Harriet.
We can paint the town red tonight, Lewis.
Well, that part might be all right, but I want my old world back.
Hey, Newsome, give the colonel another huggy-buggy-bug.
Maybe Lou's right, Joe.
Yeah, maybe he is. Give me 3 minutes. I'll make it all right again.
Hey, there's my buddy Ray. Hey, pal, come on over here.
That's just enough time to play the most requested, most purchased, biggest hit in the 1944 hit parade. 1944 was Bing Crosby's big year. Here he is with the John Scott Trotter Orchestra and Swinging on a Star on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are. Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. A new kind of jumped up slippery fish. And all the monkeys are in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Bing Crosby and the John Scott Trotter Orchestra with Swinging on a Star on station KUWS. Now, oh wise and all-powerful engineer Joe Gardonio, what's happened to us tonight?
What's happened to whom?
Case in point.
Elementary, my dear Jack and Lou and Harriet and Ray and George and Colonel. Elementary. Upon entering the radio station tonight, everyone walked past the seemingly innocent-looking mirror. Said mirror is, in fact, no ordinary mirror. It's the genius of engineers once again that have fashioned the electro-transfer mirror.
The electro-transfer mirror?
Precisely. With the use of high-speed, high-frequency radio waves bouncing from the mirror to each unsuspecting passerby, it completely changes your brain waves.
It created the nightmarish backwards land?
What nightmare? Hey, guard you on your old buddy, old pal.
Hey, no more slapping me on the back, Colonel. No more, I tells you. Now get away from me with that big slapping. No more. My back can't take it. No backwards land. I must destroy the electro-transfer mirror before everyone turns into some kind of strange...
I told you, I found him on the couch here in the lounge. He was yelling for me. Poor skinny, disturbed slacker.
What? Don't slap me, Colonel. I'm warning you.
It occurred to me, but... it's part of my New Year's resolution to quit slapping people.
Are you all right, Joe? You were having a dream or a nightmare or something.
So we're not going to live together, Harriet?
Well, probably not.
That would be a dream.
Sounds like some kind of a dream thingamabob.
Dream thingamabob? It's the old Jack.
Weird slacker.
The old grouchy colonel.
Let's go, guys. It's almost midnight and the bowling alley is still open. The guys have a board going there about the bowl games.
Go, team, right?
You got it, partner.
Because remember, all people who are sports love a good something or other.
Love a good sport, Joe.
The museum guy, he doesn't do the soft shoe?
Not since vaudeville.
So, was I in your dream, Joe?
You too, Georgie. You pooling our resources rent-free?
There is no way better than the American way, and that is free enterprise. You want rent-free? Go to Siberia.
So, Lou, all's well in your world, then.
We're bringing in a new year. We can put the old year behind us and move forward.
There's always hope and optimism when we're handed a new slate, right, buddy? It's up to us. And what we do with it.
Very philosophical of you.
I do have my moments. Well, friends, that's a wrap for another show and another year. Stay tuned for the NBC Dance Orchestra playing for you on your radio until 2 o'clock this morning. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. May the good Lord make 1945 a happy new year for one and all.
Happy New Year!
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Al Katz, Tom Martinson, Ray Paulson, Don Hansen, Joel Anderson, Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the edition of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.